Acts 16, just a few verses, reading from verse 30. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And if you look at the last verse of that chapter, we read this. And they went out of the prison, entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they were comforted, or they comforted them, and departed. Now God will bless that portion of his word to us. The first word that the Lord Jesus said when he was raised from the dead was woman. Not man, woman. The first convert in Europe was a woman, and her name was Lydia. The first church in Europe ever was in Lydia's household. So you can see the importance that God puts upon the female race. We must never imagine for one moment that God despises a lady. She's esteemed. The word woman means a lady of a high degree. And I want to speak about this woman, Lydia, because she's quite remarkable. Obviously, she was bereaved, because we never read of her in the scripture with her husband. And knowing the nobility of her character, we could never imagine her to be separated or divorced. And therefore, we infer that she had lost her husband, and that's a bitter blow. If you have lost your partner, the soreness of that wound is never lost, even although you might be a Christian. But isn't it a lovely thing to know that there's going to be a glorious reunion in heaven if we know the Lord? Secondly, she was a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple, and she had a tremendous business. And her purple cloth was sold all over the Roman world. And this woman would travel the sea, travel through dangerous countries. You see, she didn't sit down and pine away. Obviously, she carried on her husband's business. And therefore, I'm going to commend her because she was a businesswoman and a woman that knew her facts. Thirdly, she was a religious woman. As a child, she had seen through the pagan gods, and probably she said something like this. Look, these images that we worship, they have eyes that see not, noses that smell not, heads that think not, lips that speak not, ears that do not hear, hearts that do not function. They are lifeless creatures. They are dead idols. We cannot worship them. And then she started to look at creation carefully, studiously. And she could see that there was an order behind creation. All the seasons came in. There was never a clash between morning and night. And therefore she said in the back of her mind, if there's a creation, there must be a creator. But what is he? Who is he? And then she heard of the Jewish faith, how there was one God, infinite, almighty, unseen, who was behind everything that was created. And it rang like a bell. And she started to worship that God, but she didn't know him. Then she would hear all about the Jewish feasts. And probably knowing her, she would go to Jerusalem. But somehow there was an aching void in her heart. Something was missing. God was there, but she didn't know him. And she was in search, and she was determined to find him. When she went to Philippi, there was no synagogue. So she gathered some ladies together, and they used to meet at the riverside for prayer. And they would be praying, searching for God. And if you listen to those ladies praying, they would say something like this: Lord, our money cannot satisfy us. Our homes, although palatial, do not satisfy us. There's something missing in our lives. There's a vast eternity, and we're not sure about it. There's a God, and we don't know him. And we want to know him. They probably had been reading the scriptures. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And they were seeking with every fibre that God could give them. And when you seek like that, you will find. One day they were in prayer, and suddenly they looked up, and to their surprise, two men were there. And they looked at one man, and they could see that he had been a professional rabbi. They knew that because he could speak Hebrew fluently. And he interrupted and he said, Ladies, I have been sent from God. I've got a message from the Lord. I want you to listen. And Lydia would look at these men carefully because she had a very penetrating mind and she could see they were genuine. And then she would say, Right, speak on. And then Paul would open the scriptures. And God opened Lydia's heart by revelation. And then she had to attend unto the things that were spoken by Paul. And first of all, as he was speaking, the light of heaven shone in. Revelation came from God. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And Paul would go on and he would say, You know, ladies, there's one God. And they would all nod. He is omnipotent. They would all nod. He is infinite. They would all nod. He is the creator of all things. They would all agree. He is holy and just. Yes, they would agree. And then he would say, We all have a conscience. Yes. And every one of us have violated that conscience. And therefore we have sinned. Their heads would go down and they would agree. Now, says the apostle, God has given to us 10 commandments. Yes, we know them off by heart. Have you kept them? Some. Not all. What ones have you broken? The first one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Therefore you're guilty, ladies. Yes. Ah, but the apostle would said, there's a different side to the law than perhaps what you know. You see, our master, and I'm going to tell you who he is in a few moments, he said, if you look to lust, you have committed adultery. You see, God is not concerned with the action, he's concerned with the thought that promotes the action. I'm sure you all feel you've kept that commandment, you shall not steal. But if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Oh dear. And all those ladies, their minds would do overtime and they would say, Well, we've broken nearly every commandment. Exactly. Therefore, we are guilty before God. All of us. And his eyes would fill with tears and he would say, Yes, I'm guilty. And you're guilty. We're all guilty. That's what the Word of God says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Their heads would go down and there would be quietness. And then he would say this quietly and gently. Ladies, if we die with our sins, we shall go out into darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. God cannot have sin in heaven. And then Lydia would interrupt and she would say, "But surely, sir, there's a way out." There is. But you will never see the way out until you understand that you're guilty. And she would retort and say, "But we understand that we are guilty. We are not depending on our good life. We know that we're guilty." Splendid. Now he says, "I've got some good news for you. God has intervened. Lydia would retort and say, "I knew that he intervened in judgment when Adam sinned. Yes. I knew that he intervened in the time of Noah when the world was permissive. Yes. But he's intervened in love. But how? Into our world the Messiah has come." And then they would gasp. "The Messiah has come?" Yes. "What, the great Messiah, the promised one, has come?" Yes. "He was born in Bethlehem's manger. And when he was born, the angel said, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men.' And then God gave him a wonderful name. 'Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.' And their hearts started to open. And they started to respond to him. And this Messiah went about doing good, healing all those that were sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, because he wanted to prove that he was the Messiah that was prophesied by Isaiah." That's wonderful. And then Paul would stop. There would be quietness. They would just hear the water lapping on the sides of the bank of the river. And then he would say, "But the Messiah died." "The Messiah died?" Yeah. "But why did he die if he's the Son of God?" "He died for your sin. Ladies, he loved you so much that he died and bore your punishment." And Lydia would interrupt and she would say, "Are you insinuating that those people in the Old Testament, when they sinned, they would take a little lamb and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation and they would lay their hands upon the little lamb and then it would be killed and its blood would be taken and sprinkled upon the horns of the altar and poured at the base of the altar, and God passed over a single sin because someone died or some lamb died in that person's stead?" "Yes." "And are you saying that he was the great Lamb of God that bore away all our sins?" "Exactly." And then Paul would quote the inspired word, "Once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Their hearts were being opened. And Lydia was saying, "Oh, I see now. The Messiah loved me so much that he died for my sins." And then someone would retort and say, "But if he's dead, how can he help us? How can a dead Messiah help us?" Paul would wait and then he would say very quietly, "He's not dead. But you said he died for our sins." "Yes. But he's not dead." "What do you mean?" "God has raised him from the dead. Haven't you read in the Psalms? 'Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption.'" "Oh, yes." "Haven't you read in the prophecy of Isaiah, 'He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied?'" "Oh, yes." And God has raised him from the dead physically, yes, but he's raised him from the dead in such a wonderful way, he'll never die again. And then Paul would look sad and he would say, I didn't believe in him. And then his eyes would fill with tears and he would say, I persecuted people who were called Christians that believed on him. But why? Because I didn't believe that he was the Messiah. I didn't believe in the resurrection. I believed that it was a trumped up fairy story. But what happened? I met him on the Damascus Road. I saw his glory. He said to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks of your conscience. And at that moment, I received him as my Savior, and he's changed my life. As those ladies were listening, their hearts were opening to Christ. It was wonderful. God was doing it. And then the apostle would say, the Holy Spirit has come. What, the Spirit of God? Yes. And when you receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord, he cleanses you from all your sins because he died once and for all for your sins. Yes. He puts the Holy Spirit in your body and you're born anew. You're made new creatures. One would interrupt, for that's how they had their services in those days, and would say, but sir, the Holy Spirit only came upon a few people in the Old Testament. Came upon a few kings like David and Solomon. Came upon the high priest. But the Holy Spirit never came upon common people. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is co-equal with God? I do. But this is the age of the Holy Spirit. And when you believe, he not only forgives your sins, but the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you're born anew and you're made right with God and you become a new creature and you have here and now eternal life. They lost contact with Paul. He wasn't really there at that moment. They heard the lapping of the water. They felt the gentle breezes, and then they closed their eyes, and they had living contact with God. In their hearts, they all wept because of their sins. They all asked the Lord to save them from their sins because of judgment. They all quietly trusted the Lord Jesus to forgive them. And then, if they knew this hymn, they would have all said it in their hearts. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. And they all received Christ as their Savior. The first time they heard it. And there by the riverside, Lydia's heart was open, and she became the first Christian in Europe. It's the 20th century. It's Wednesday morning. 2,000 years have passed. The coming of the Lord Jesus is near. Ladies, his coming is so near. We mustn't now talk about the last days, but the last seconds of the last days. The reason why there is all this pollution, the reason why the ozone layer is being penetrated, the reason why the Jews have gone back to their own country, the reason why we have the revival of the Arab races and the Islam sect, is because Jesus is on the verge of coming. And we've only got a few seconds left. But there are ladies here Has he opened your heart? Now can I give you a warning and a wooing? There's some now whose hearts are being opened by the Lord. But you can reject that revelation. You can pull down the shutters of your mind. You can close the door of your heart. And you can say, no, I want to live as I've always been living. And you know what that means. You have signed your name for hellfire. Don't do that, ladies. Accept the revelation. And on that seat, have a spiritual beginning whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken by Paul. May many do that this morning. Let us pray. Father, we do pray that in the quietness of this room, some lady, like Lydia, will attend and receive the Lord Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Grant this, we pray. Oh, we do realize that thy coming is so near, Lord. Even as we pray, we can almost hear the footfalls of the Lord coming and the door of grace closing. And the church is about to be taken when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we would ask you, Lord, so earnestly that those who have not yet received Christ may do so this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, ladies, thank you for listening, and I'm really behaving myself, you know. I finished bang on time. And I'm so pleased about that. Now, if someone would like to receive the Lord, we would love to help you. When we were here last time, I don't know if the lady's here. I can't see her. But she received Christ as her Saviour. And that lady is just rejoicing in the Lord. And her husband now is near to the Saviour. Trust that some lady may trust the Lord so that you can share this with your husband. God wants to see whole families saved. How I praise God when my mother trusted Christ. And you know, although we were frightened of the prayers of my mother, you know what boys are, there were five of us, we would go past mother's bedroom and we could hear her praying for us, name by name. And we would say, she's at it again. But mother prayed five of us into the kingdom. And when she was dying with cancer at the age of 81, we were all round her bed, and the last thing she said was this: I've not been a perfect mum. We thought she was. But she said, the blood of Christ has cleansed me from all sin. And into God's presence she went. Isn't that lovely? And we want you all like that, mothers. Your heart opened, saved, so that you can instruct your grandchildren and your children, and even bring your husband to the Lord. May many of you trust him today. Thank you for listening, and the Lord bless you.